A Haines resident applies for a retail pot shop license, and the Skagway Assembly talks about a waterfront in limbo. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Emily Files. Those stories and more up next. A marijuana retail store could be in Haines' future. If it gets the green light, a pot shop may be one of the first things cruise ship visitors see when they get to town. Weeks after applying for a state license to open a cultivation facility on Helms Loop, Carol Waldo also applied for a retail shop. She wants to open Glacier Bay Farms at 77 Beach Road, across the street from the cruise ship dock. Glacier Bay Farms is also the name of the cultivation facility she hopes to open. Waldo did not return a request for comment for this story. She is the first resident to apply for a commercial pot business of any kind in Haines. Right now, there is nothing in borough code regulating these types of businesses. The municipality could impose zoning restrictions or taxes, or they could do nothing and stick to the state rules. That's the direction the Planning Commission leaned toward when confronted with Waldo's cultivation application. The group chose not to take up the issue unless directed to do so, putting the ball in the Assembly's court. People can submit comments or objections to the Marijuana Control Office or the Haines Borough. In Skagway, the Assembly adopted pot business zoning restrictions last year. The town's first retail marijuana shop opened in January. The Skagway Assembly is following in Haines' footsteps and soliciting applications for an empty Assembly seat. Angela Greaser turned in her letter of resignation late last month, citing health issues. The Assembly accepted it at a meeting Thursday. In the past, the mayor has recommended a candidate to fill vacancies, and the Assembly either followed that recommendation or chose someone else. But for this seat, they decided to seek out letters of interest. Skagway residents have until May 15th to apply. That's the same deadline for people interested in a position on the Haines Assembly. Mike Case resigned his seat following a contentious manager hire decision. Both assemblies have 30 days from the date of the vacancy to appoint a new member. The appointees will serve until the October municipal election, when they may run for office to retain the seat. More information can be found on the Skagway and Haines Borough websites. The future of Skagway's port has been in limbo for about a year and a half. Borough officials' frustration over the situation rose to the surface at an assembly meeting Thursday. The assembly talked about the two most pressing waterfront issues, contamination cleanup and cruise ships. For years, people in Skagway have been saying it. We need to build bigger docks to accommodate bigger cruise ships. Now, a cruise line organization is saying it too.
The word encourage to me was a nice way of saying get it done.
That's Assemblyman Spencer Morgan talking about a letter from the Cruise Lines International Association, also called CLIA. CLIA's Northwest and Canada president, Greg Wirtz, wrote that Skagway's existing dock facilities will not be able to accommodate some ships that are planning port calls in 2019. Wirtz urges the borough and its leaseholder at the port, White Pass and Yukon Route Railroad, to work together and immediately take the necessary steps to renovate the ore dock. Wirtz specifies the ore dock based on options from port consultant Moffitt & Nickel. The options include renovating the railroad dock or the ore dock. Again, here's Morgan.
We've got to sit down with White Pass, discuss what needs to be done down there. If they come back with, we need a lease, we'll know what their feelings are towards it.
That's what happened several years ago when the borough was working toward a port improvement plan called the Gateway Project. They needed access to areas of the waterfront White Pass leases until 2023. In return for access, White Pass wanted a 35-year lease extension, but the contract was thrown out in a public vote. Moving on has been a challenge for the borough. All port renovations and cleanup of long-standing contamination has stalled. That contamination in the ore basin was also a topic of discussion at this meeting.
You know, it's still just as complicated as it's ever been.
Tim Borsi is the Port Commission chair. He spoke on two resolutions before the assembly. One formalizes the municipality's support to clean up the ore contamination. It also says White Pass is responsible for the pollution, not the municipality. The other resolution offers a sort of olive branch, supporting collaboration and saying the municipality would contribute financially to remediation. But the Assembly did not agree on that second, more cooperative resolution. Assemblyman Orion Hansen supported it.
You know, it's not just that we're going to drop the hammer in 2023. We want to make progress now. And the second resolution, I think, says that, that this isn't just an iron fist we're waving over your head, that at the end of this, if White Pass doesn't come forward, we're going to, come after you. We're also saying we really want a partnership and work together to make this happen.
But Assemblymember Steve Burnham Jr. said adopting one resolution saying the municipality didn't cause the contamination and another offering to help pay to clean it up doesn't make sense. He said, yes, the borough does have grant funds that could go toward dredging, but it would be jumping the gun to commit that money before a plan is in place. The municipality hopes to have a plan this summer with the help of Moffitt and Nickel.
Before we commit to putting funds towards a remediation, we let Moffitt and Nickel finish their study and make a recommendation so that we have something to talk about.
Hansen responded, saying it's a good gesture that can't hurt.
We're in real jeopardy of losing the economy that we have, or at least losing market share to it. And that's where I'm coming from. Do we make a deal, or do we just stand there, and play chicken forever?
The motion offering collaboration and financial support failed 3-2. Steve Burnham and Jay Burnham voted against it. A motion needs 4 affirmative votes to pass. The other resolution, which formalizes the municipality's stance on contamination cleanup, did pass unanimously. The Assembly amended it to encourage remediation no later than June 2018. Although Mayor Mark Schaefer said that kind of fast progress would be a miracle. The Chilkat River is one of 4 bodies of water in the state nominated to be an outstanding national resource water. The designation is also known as Tier 3 protection, but no decision can be made on that nomination until the state decides on an evaluation process. As KHNS's Abby Collins reports, a local advisory committee has an idea on who should have the final say.
The State Department of Environmental Conservation is gathering input on the Tier 3 designation process. The Upper Lynn Canal Fish and Game Advisory Committee wrote a letter to the department saying DEC should have the ultimate authority. Last year, Governor Walker introduced bills that would give the power to the legislature. But after significant public input, he pulled the bills and DEC went back to the drawing board. The Chilkat Indian Village nominated the Chilkat River for the high-level protection. The designation would shield the water from pollutants unless they have a short-term and limited impact. Specifically calling on DEC to have the final say is a step further than the committee has gone in the past. Last summer, they wrote a letter that supported giving decision-making power to a state agency instead of the legislature. They said decisions should be scientific rather than political. But at that time, they didn't name DEC. Committee member Randy Jackson pushed back on that approach. He said giving decision-making power to a board made up of different agencies would allow for more local control.
It's not going to be a good move for us to say DEC should have the ultimate authority without community input.
But others on the committee said there would be plenty of opportunity for the local community to weigh in. The new letter also requests the evaluation and vetting process include significant public outreach. Even a possible advisory board to evaluate specific nominations and pass on recommendations to DEC. Committee member John Hagen said they shouldn't give the ultimate authority to a board.
A board approach is in a way no different from a legislative approach, where it would politicize the issue and make and somewhat dilute the power of, and actually make it a lot more difficult because you have way too many people involved with the process. A single agency approach is prudent, It's more efficient.
That's where the committee ended up, asking for DEC to make the final call. They also said that any Alaska resident should be able to make nominations. DEC is still gathering public input on the Tier 3 evaluation process at their website. You can find a link with this report at khns.org. In Haines, I'm Abby Collins.
For KHNS News, I'm Emily Files. Thanks for joining us this evening.